The following is a duplication of tape 1, side 2 of an interview conducted with Gim Fong for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
Regarded this as his country, and after that, shortly after that, became a citizen, naturalized citizen. And you said that he didn't even want to be buried in China.
In fact, the year I asked him if he wanted to go back to China, he had a second wife with him.
You asked him?
Yeah, I asked him if he wanted to go back to China, would get to go back, you know.
When he was old?
Yeah.
Oh.
When he was 95, well, after my mother died.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, my sister took him back.
His second wife, all these years,
they communicate, but never see each other.
Remained his wife?
I have a half-brother. I'm only supposed to know about it. It doesn't bother me.
No, it's a lot of Chinese.
So eventually I like to meet him, my half-brother.
Other mom,
yeah,
or whatever.
Stepmother. I don't remember her at all.
Is she here or gone?
She's still alive, but she's supposed to be. His son is taking care of
him. I see. Did you ever write to him?
No, we don't.
Did your father ever write to him?
My father used to.
He used to. Did he send money back home to support his second wife? Your mom didn't object to him having a second wife. What were the circumstances?
I guess they don't take it that way.
Well, actually, in reality,
of course
your wife,
jealous,
your husband,
yeah.
I mean, your father already only had your mom because they were here all these years, and he really didn't go back. I suppose that was somehow to do with the wealth, perhaps. If you were wealthy, you couldn't afford it.
In those days, it was way of life.
Have more kids, huh? Going back to the way you were being brought up, you said later on your father became more Americanized. But before that time, in other words, in your when you were a child, between the ages of 6 and 16, say, did you have any conflicts over culture with your parents? With what you wanted to do versus what they wanted you to be like?
No, they never did force us to do anything we don't want. If I wanted to be a mechanic, just go ahead. But he always told me it's not easy, and I had to learn the hard way. And I'd work, and it was dirty, and it was hard, and I find it was fun, but it was...
Did most of your friends, your Chinese friends' parents, also give them the same amount of liberty that your parents gave to you?
I guess so. All about the same. Like my parents, when I was in school, high school, he wouldn't let me go out track, things, rough football. Things like that, you were never signed for. Like basketball, you let me go.
He was afraid that you hurt yourself.
I guess so.
Nice.
And he said, running is not good for you, as Chinese.
Why?
I don't know. Because he saw when they have marathons, you know, the rickshaw boys would run until they drop them.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't did like that. So he thinks running is not good.
Marathon? Rickshaw?
You know, they used to have marathon runs.
With rickshaws?
Well, they use rickshaw boys, I guess.
In China?
In China, competition.
Oh, there. Yes, I see.
That's the only thing I can remember in China.
Your father was quite well educated.
I guess he had a couple of years in high school or some kind of form of education, which my other uncle didn't have. So he could write.
Because he seemed to have a lot of beliefs, which... were usually,
but he was considered educated.
I see.
But mostly self-taught.
Did people come to him to ask him to write letters for them, for the illiterates?
Not really. That's correct.
But were there that kind of service to where a person just
in
writes
China,
a letter?
Was
here, there wasn't.
I guess so. There's something too.
Because I'm sure there are people here who can't read in any language either.
See, my father who was. The one that does, he was the brain behind my uncle's store, and he would do all the correspondence and all that. So my uncle came over here when he was young, so he didn't get an education, a formal education.
I see. Did your father join any association? Family association?
Well, he believed in the family association, but he was never active in it.
But he was, he de facto a member because his last name, what was the association you mentioned?
Le Fong Fong.
The
three
Fong
family.
Fong, yeah. Uh-huh. How about you? Did you join?
I don't believe in it.
I see. What other association did your father join? At that time, were these, that was before he, this new Chinatown was created, back in the early 40s and late 30s. Where were these associations located, these families? Did they have an
all
address?
Around Chinatown, has to be sure.
You mean China City or the Chinatown?
At that time, I don't think China, well, Hong Kong had the building there. It's on Broadway now.
Mm-hmm,
but in
yeah.
those days, I don't know where it was located.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing, my father does, one time I want to join a Boy Scout.
Uh-oh.
He said no. Because he had a uniform. He didn't want anything to do with uniform.
Oh, it's interesting.
Was he quite an American?
He didn't like uniform, but he said he didn't.
He didn't like military things.
I see.
So it was hard when we went, when we had to join the army, got drafted.
Who did the grocery shopping?
My mother would do it.
How could she communicate?
Chinatown.
Oh, well,
she lived her whole life within 2 blocks of Chinatown.
Oh, she never stepped out of Chinatown.
Well, when we go shopping at Broadway, my mother would take us.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have to do a change for her. And we'd keep all the change.
She never made an attempt to learn
no.
English? You felt it wasn't necessary or felt
no,
it was too difficult?
No, it was too difficult. She couldn't write Chinese.
Oh. Could she read?
No.
I see. Yeah.
It was just the bands.
Yeah, that was quite difficult. Do you know anything about your mother's side of the family? What do you think? Your father lived, and your mother lived for a long time.
My
yeah,
mother lived to 80.
Oh.
And my father was
98. It's interesting, your father's change. Was that typical of people who stayed here for a long time, that they adopt this country as their own and just don't even want to go back to China?
I think 90% of majority of them would never go back.
Did you know of any Chinese who actually went back?
Yes. I don't know if he had to go back, but he was a communist, so.
Who was a communist?
Mr. Song, and he was a professor at SC.
Oh.
And right after the war, he deported him. So, evidently he had some kind of political thing.
Mr. Song. Or was he a Pali Sci professor? But other than Mr. Sun, you never heard of any, say, businessmen when they get old enough to retire, just pack up and go back home?
I haven't heard of them.
Mm. Did anybody tell you that they wanted to go back to China eventually?
See, in the old days, this is what you do.
To go back?
You earn your money here and you go back to China to live.
Mm-hmm,
it was
right.
peaceful.
Yeah.
And my father didn't have to be a millionaire to live that way, but now you can't live that way.
But your father's attitude changed, not because he couldn't go back, but rather
things changed a lot
because of political situation,
yeah.
Perhaps.
He knows it'll never be the same like the old days, but my father buy land, everything
yeah.
is yours.
Mm-hmm.
And the economy is nothing to it.
But he was happy here. And he manages okay with the language, or do he still have trouble?
No, he has no problem communicating.
Can't write.
That's the only thing.
I see. Judging from what you told me, he also felt that Chinese education was important for his children.
Yes.
But you didn't feel
it was important, so we just fool around in school, never put our mind to it.
Did you ever think of going back?
I liked it.
I mean,
but not to live.
When you were growing up or something.
No, I never thought about going back.
Did the other American-born Chinese ever say they want to go back to China?
I've never heard of anything.
How did the Chinese men meet their wives? Do you know? Matchmaker or what? Or
when?
Did they just enter? When you were growing up, 37 through 45.
If you're in China, they were matchmaker.
No, here. In
yeah.
Los Angeles, the Chinese were.
No, you don't
when,
know.
Like, yeah, your older brothers, for instance. How did they get there?
But they were already married, right? They were all matched.
Oh, they were.
Yeah, the three brothers were all
How
matched.
About your... The brother who was only maybe 4 or 5 years older than him.
God, if we all are all.
You found your... interesting. What's this? That's you?
Me.
when was this picture taken?
1937, I guess, before we came over here.
Oh, back in China?
Mm-hmm. My sister's missing. She's younger.
That's your father?
Uh-huh.
Very modern Western suit and tie and everything, huh? Oh, look at that. That look. If I looked at that now, I would say that was taken maybe a year or two ago, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah,
huh.
This is Danny Ho Fong.
Who?
He's the most successful one in the family.
What's his name?
Danny Ho Fong.
Danny
he designs furniture. Bedtime furniture.
I see. And these 1, 2, 3, these
this
were the
is
three.
Kun, he's my oldest brother.
Uh-huh.
He owns an ivory house on the street.
Oh.
And this hall, he's the youngest of the three. He's a tool designer.
Mm-hmm. And how about this one?
See, that's the wife.
Oh, that's his wife.
This is the wife.
This is
his
wife.
Wife. Uh-huh.
And they were all
matched.
Were they happy? I mean, being.
I don't consider that happy.
I see.
But that's the only thing they know.
They
never divorced, right? There's no such thing.
Your parents were matched, I presume. See, this is quite a modern photo studio.
I probably done in Hong
was
Kong.
Was it done in Hong Kong? Yeah. How old were you then?
I was like about 6, 9,
mm-hmm. Yeah, probably about 5 or so. Interesting. But your friends, for instance, not your older. Your older friend, when you were, for instance, in 45, how old were you?
45.
You must have been 18, right? 15. I see. How could you qualify for military service?
I went in the Korean War.
Ah!
I went in
1953. Uh-huh. Ah, yeah, I see. So the people you knew back in those days were all found their mates themselves.
Yeah.
Mm, I see. Did you know of anybody who actually went back to China to get married?
Well, after you get a certain age and you're not married, then the family gets pretty mad and they send you back. They give you a chance, you know.
Where are you? What's the difference going back? You have your choice of women or what?
Well, like they say, Hong Kong, they can fix you up in one day.
I see. But that was not popular by the 30s, was it?
Oh, well, it was popular for a while here. You know, like Korean War time. Some couldn't get married. Nobody wants to marry you.
Yeah.
So
even to the Korean
even
War
recent
time.
One, I've seen.
Yes, I
they go back
heard
to Hong
it, yeah,
Kong.
Yeah, recent
no.
go back. Were you eager to have sons more than daughters?
Of course, I would want a son, but I never got a son.
is that attitude prevalent among American-born Chinese like yourself?
No.
You mean they don't care?
No.
Oh.
Not
so yours is a no. I meant back in those days, back in the 40s, so the people of your generation.
Guess so. Everybody wants a son. Carry the name. That's the only thing. But I figured, what I have to carry a name for? I've got a big family.
Mm.
You know, why have you depend on me? I'm not the only son. So we've got about, 20 something grandsons. You know, grandchildren my father has.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Fongs already. They don't even know.
Right. What did people think of interracial marriages?
We had a rough time, but my,
Who's we?
My family. You know, my father discouraged it.
Ah.
So none of us really didn't marry.
But you didn't, perhaps you didn't want to.
I wanted to.
Oh, excuse me.
But we were discouraged.
Very discouraged.
My father. My mother. But now our next generation has changed. We've got one nephew's name. But I'm talking about my uncle. He married her. The first wife was Caucasian.
Oh.
Back in 1890. I'm talking about 67 years ago now.
Back in 60, 70 years, that was the 1910s.
Somewhere.
Your uncle, the one that came over here in 19... Before 1903, to look for your grandfather. He married a Caucasian woman.
And she
lived
in Chinatown,
unusual.
Too.
That's fair.
Raised, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 kids.
Oh my. Did he experience a lot of criticism and us?
I don't know, but I'm sure he was like that.
Did your father say anything?
But you should talk to the livings.
They're not living anymore.
Yeah, the son. The children are living. There's 1, 2, 3, 4 living.
He's no longer.
No, he died 20 years ago.
It's interesting. That's probably one of the few instances of interracial marriage. Do you remember, have you ever met her, the wife?
I know, she's real nice.
Yeah, does
white hair.
She doesn't speak Chinese, does
no.
So how do your uncle got, so her personality was sort of like a Chinese lady. Typically introverted and very, motherly and feminine. But no one else you could think of before World War II that married outside of the Chinese race?
Not our family.
Japanese, Korean married. Anybody like that?
Not our family.
How are your friends? Your parents' friends?
And it's more, back in, after the war, it's more intermarriage, Japanese and Chinese. My cousin married Japanese girl.
After the war?
After the war. Mm.
And he himself was,
No, he was Chinese. No. This is the second family.
Oh.
First family, they married the Caucasian, most of them. Except for one married, the girl, the daughter married a Chinese girl.
This is the end of the duplication of tape 1, side 2 of the interview with Kim Fong.